Yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes the difference. Good morning. I'm your host, Lee, coming out of the DFW Metroplex with the Sudden Eye Impact Show. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. I have a special guest joining me today. He's no stranger to the show, Mr. John Banks, transformational leader, motivational speaker, writer, tech-savvy guy. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Dwight. So as Dwight mentioned, my name is John Banks. I'm here today to really talk about a few things that have been on my mind last week or two, and also really today just share some examples of things that I'm doing during this time of kind of what we call slowdown. Some people say quarantine. These pandemic times that has really altered the way that many of us operate and also move around day by day. And it's a great opportunity for a couple of things. You know, I, as Dwight mentioned, I've worked in the tech industry for about 20 years. I've been a transformational coach for about 10 years. I still work with a lot of technology individuals. I also coach individuals one-on-one, and I do group coaching, and I do speaking. And one thing that I've noticed here in the last couple of weeks, talking to different people, some people are taking advantage of the situation. And sometimes we'll call that making, you know, turning lemons into lemonade. And then some other people I've talked to, they are actually, rightfully so, emotionally kind of mentally disturbed, a little unsettling, and they're having to operate in a new way that's a little different. And one of those ways that we're having to operate right now is something that I get into a lot with my clients. And this is something really key for us to listen to here. Many times people keep themselves busy so they don't have to investigate or actually see themselves. I'm going to repeat that. They keep themselves busy so they actually don't have to look at themselves or really spend time with themselves, right? Getting into their emotions, thinking about certain things that really have kind of been there for years, but they really don't want to address it, right? And people will just, they'll just go out and work, and maybe they'll go work out and they'll run. Maybe, you know, people will go to the bar, they'll drink, and that's where a lot of times substances come in, right? Substance abuse, drinking, smoking, food, sugar, movies, TV, they'll find ways to, it's just to distract themselves. And I've noticed that some people, like myself, I live alone, I'm single, and my contact with other people has been very limited, right? I mean, there's no physical contact for the past 3.5 weeks. I do speak to people and clients on a daily basis through online meetings, videos, Zoom calls, so I'm used to doing that. And I work from home 100%. So I'm used to being kind of in my own space. So it's not a big change for me. But I was telling a friend the other day who was complaining about being with his family and saying his kids are all over the place. I explained to him, you know, I haven't been around an individual or haven't touched someone in 3.5 weeks. And he instantly stopped and he was like, wow, I didn't think about that. So I really want to take an opportunity for us to take a step back and start to think about the situation we're in. Also start to think about what other people may be going through, you know, medical workers, people who work in certain restaurants or fields that have shut down. There are some people right now that are actually thriving, right? Their businesses have increased. They're doing more work. There's kind of two sides to every coin. And so when you start thinking about those things, then you come to the point of how am I going to invest my time or spend my time? So those are two different approaches. A lot of people are spending time watching TV, watching the news, social media, listening to all these reports, not really investigating where the information's coming from and allowing that to put them in a state of fear, worry. Pretty much, very simply, if you need to understand what's happening in your area, you can go to your county or city website. It's that simple. Everything else is really a bunch of noise, right? You can go to your city website and find out what the current instructions are for your area. It's that simple. And when I talk about investing, you could be, you know, spending more time with your family while you have it right now, especially if those individuals are here. Even if they're not around you personally, you can call them, reach out to them. You can support your local businesses, right? Local businesses, that means businesses that were started by people that you know, not corporate chains. Getting exercise within the home, working on projects that you have been neglecting for the past months or years, cleaning up, organizing your place, setting out your goals for the rest of the year. Hey, when things pick up, what are the new things that I want to do? Having those discussions with your children, with your significant other, your family members, especially with the children. You know, a lot of people are realizing how important school is because the kids are home. But there's one thing that I like to remind all of our listeners. The schools are educating your children on really outdated information, and they're also educating them to go get a job. That's one thing to keep in mind. There's nothing wrong with school, and school serves a lot of great benefits. But if you want your kids to be enabled to do things at another level, like running their own businesses, being entrepreneurs, being able to be creative, that type of education actually comes from the family, from the parents, or from outside sources. So it's an important thing right now for us to remember that education is not just up to the responsibility of the schools. It's also up to the responsibility of family, parents, siblings. We can all help educate each other and keep working through these times. A lot of kids are not even going back to school, right? They won't go back to school until the following year. So think about what you can do, how you can level up, how you can make it better. If you're going through a struggling time, I know Dwight's talked about this before, focus on what you can do to be able to get some more income, to be able to pay the bills if you're dealing with a difficult time right now. Focus on asking for help, reaching out to the different sources that are starting to come out now in the community, either federally or statewide or locally, right? Use your time to improve your life, to improve your situation. And also, the last thing that I'm going to leave with this opening segment is the world is changing. Now, people will say that this is going to go back to normal. I personally don't really believe it's going to go back to a normal state. I think we're going to move into a state where we start to move around again. Flights are opening. People can move around, go to stores, see each other, close contact. I think that's going to happen again. But the way that we operate as a whole, as a global community, there's going to be some definite changes based off of what we've seen in the past few weeks. So personally, you can do the same, right? What new habits do you want to instill now? It's very easy to start to lay those in because you really can't go anywhere, right? You have to be at home. You have to stay in. So you can start to implement some new things. I know many of my friends, they've just started cooking at home more now, right? And that's a great new habit that actually, from a financial standpoint and health standpoint, is beneficial on both ends. They're spending more time with their family. Some of these things, you can etch those in as new habits. So when things do pick up, those are things that you continually do going forward. So I'd like to just add those. Nothing, no rocket science here, you know, nothing that's going to blow you away in terms of what you don't already know, but these are the important things that Dwight and I focus on each show. Is the simple things is what really can make a change in your life and give you a new experience and also allow you to help your community and stand strong and calm during these times. So again, think about how you're going to invest your time. Now, we all know an investment reaps rewards, right? So how are you going to invest your time? Think about that, and we'll be back here soon to talk about a few more subjects. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarn. Also, I need to congratulate Jarn on receiving three new clients. That's in advance of over $20,000 in income. I want to congratulate him on that. And I just want to say a few words also. I mean, I met this gentleman about a year ago, and he relit my fire. I mean, this stuff is in me, but I was dry, and he reignited a fire in me that has me making new waves. I mean, this guy is highly intuitive. He's very cerebral, highly intelligent, but down to earth. He works with other coaches himself, so he lets you know that he's a product of the product. You know, he doesn't think that he's a know-it-all, and that speaks volumes. And I just want to congratulate him on the resounding work that he's doing. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics, such as, but not limited to, responsibility, accountability, goal setting, relationships, finances, the power of words, the power of thoughts, belief systems, and support systems. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is purely spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change that area of their life for the better or to change their life for the best. I'm your host, Lee. Anyone that wants to find out more about us or is interested in working with us, you can reach Jarn Banks at DreamPowerAcademy.com. You can reach me at S as in superlative, O as in optimistic, U as in unique, N as in notorious, E as in energetic, R as in resurrection, H as in honor, A as in achievement, V as in vision, E as in enthusiasm, and N as in navigation at yahoo.com. Once again, that's Soonerhaven at yahoo.com. That was some very encouraging and in-depth insight that Jarn shared with us, so don't take it lightly. I'm going to continue where I left off on the last show under the subtitle of Economic Empowerment, and today is subtitled The Power Principle, and we're talking about money, because in this time, in these times, you're going to have the courage to have tough conversations. You're going to have to be able to talk about money. You're going to have to get comfortable with talking about money, handling money, reevaluating your finances, and things along that line. Because if you do not, you're going to stay where you are, or more than likely, even take more steps back. So I'm going to share with you all, and this is a tough conversation, but I have the courage to have it. So I'm encouraged to have it. I'm inspired to have it, and it's a fact, and it's going to have to happen. And I'm going to start off by saying this. Money is in consciousness, and money is in awareness, and it must be earned by providing a service. The higher quality of service that is rendered will determine the level of pay. Let me say that again. The higher the quality of service that is rendered determines the level of pay. So I don't want anybody to get anything misinterpreted or misunderstood, like, oh, you don't have to do anything and money's going to fall in your lap. That's not what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying this. You don't really earn money by just going to work. You earn money by providing a service, solving a problem. Money has little to do with the paper that you fold up and put in your wallet, or you put in your purse, or you deposit into your savings account or your checking account. That's paper with ink. It's not necessarily money, but it does represent money. And it is used as a medium of exchange. Let me say that again. The paper that you fold up and put in your wallet or purse or your pocket, or you deposit into your savings account or you deposit into your checking account, is not necessarily money. it is a representation of money. And in this societal system, it is accepted as a medium of exchange. Now, I talked to y'all before about substance. Substance, that which stands underneath or that which stands behind. So that paper that we call money is a representation of money, which I just said money is in consciousness and money is in awareness. In order for it to be earned, a service must be provided. A problem must be solved. So a need must be met. So what is money? Money is an idea. Money is a worthy idea. Money is a prosperity idea. Money is a rich idea. Money is a wealth idea. Money is congealed energy expressed and appropriated. Money is congealed energy expressed and appropriated. I'm going to give an example, one of a few that I will give today. We're going to look at the 96 champion Bulls, the ones that went 72-10. We're going to look at the jersey number 23, and we're going to say that's the $100 bill. We're going to look at the jersey number 33 and say that's the $50 bill. We're going to look at the jersey number 91 and say that's the $20 bill. We're going to look at the jersey number 9 and say that's the $10 bill. We're going to look at the jersey number 13, and we're going to call that the $5 bill. So in basketball, the objective is to come to a common ground, form a common goal, and to get five people to move as one, with the ultimate goal being winning the game. So with that being said, your bank account is the coach. So how do we get five people to move in harmony, to move in flow, to move in rhythm as one? They have to be on the same page. They have to be having the same thought impulses. They have to have the same goal in mind. Remember, Dr. Stephen Covey told us to begin with the end in mind. So what I'm doing today is, instead of you, as Mr. Banks said, looking at the darkness and allowing the darkness to seep on the inside of you, I'm trying to shine light and let you know what money is and means and ways to acquire it. You're going to have to attach it to something that is fun instead of continue to attach it to something that's burdensome or something that draws a negative emotion, such as pain and confusion and indifference. If you express these emotions when thinking about money, when receiving money, when handling money, and moving towards meeting your financial obligations, those are seeds that are being sown. And most of the people are looking at the harvest or the results, and they're not recognizing it. But you are sowing those beliefs. You are sowing those thoughts. You are sowing those emotions. You are sowing those words. You are sowing those expectations. You are sowing those actions. So if your relationship with money, which your relationship with money is from the cradle to the grave, is not in harmony and it's in disharmony, I just said a mouthful. You need to take out a pen and paper and write this down. You see the harvest and you don't recognize it, but you need to think back to when your direct deposit came through. How did you feel? When you recognized that you have to pay your car note, how did you feel? When you recognized that you have to pay your car insurance, how did you feel? When you realized you have to pay your rent for this month, how did you feel? When you realize that you have to spend $200 on grocery, how did you feel? When you realize you have to pay TXU $179, how did you feel? When you knew you would have to pay AT&T $150, for your internet and your cell phone, how did it make you feel? Were you looking at the check when it came in as already gone? Or was you practicing gratitude saying, thank you, universe, for this substance to help me meet my financial obligations? With that being said, here's something that I've been working on, and I'm seeing seeds of greater benefits. I began to thank my creditors for extending trust in me. Now, when I'm paying my bills, I'm beginning to bless my creditors. This will help you a whole lot. But deep diving into this, when you're sowing these seeds of beliefs, thoughts, emotions, expectations, words, and actions, you're programming this into your cognitive mind, your subconscious mind, and your central nervous system, which is the most sophisticated system ever built. Nothing compares to it. Nothing comes close to it. So that's why I'm saying be mindful, be present, be here now. Take out a sticky pad. Take out a note card. Take out a notepad. Do something. Write this down. This is very powerful. This is very profound. You need to take a look at this. I promise you, this will help you. This will bless you.
Okay, so we're back. This is Jarin Banks with DreamPowerAcademy.com. I'm going to continue on the track of giving you some actionable steps that you can take to not only help you during these times, but really any time. That's the way we like to operate, Dwight and myself, is teaching you habits and steps that we've done ourselves and that are true across all situations, right? There's some things that you may need to do right now because of the current times, and then there'll be certain things that you'll do a little bit differently when things speed up or you have more access to move around in the world. But a lot of things that I'm talking about today, you'll be able to utilize and do at all times, and that's the key piece, and that's part of one of the aspects of being persistent and diligent, right, is start to build habits and actions that you just do every single day. And you always know, I had one client ask me, how do I know that I've built a new habit? And I said, when you forget that you're doing it. And he started laughing, right? So it's, you actually do it every day, you don't even think about it. That's when it's actually in habit. And there's quite a few things that we do now. So one of the first steps that you can do is, and this is a very simple process, you can get a piece of paper, take some time, and you can look at yesterday, the previous day, and you can write down, what all did I do throughout the entire day? Now, it's important to be honest. Be honest with yourself and just write down, you know, what you did. And I'll just give you an example. You know, I went to work out. I ate breakfast. You know, I called my mom. I read a book for an hour. I cleaned out my closet. I played a video game for 30 minutes. I watched a TV show that I liked for an hour. I cooked dinner. I talked to two friends on the phone. I did some studying with the course I'm taking online. Right? You can see there's several different things there. And then it goes back to, well, what is my current goal? What is the thing that I'm looking to achieve? Now, we've talked about this in several shows. It's important to have a goal, to know where you're going. Why is that important? Because if I have a goal, let's say my goal is to buy a new home, in 2021. Now I can go back through all the activities that I did yesterday. And I can say, was this activity beneficial or helpful to me getting to my goal? And I can just go through and rate each one. It's not about making ourselves wrong or right or beating ourselves up. It's just having an accurate view of yourself of saying, look, I keep doing this every day, and this isn't really benefiting me based on what I say I want to go do, right? So you have those items. So that's going to allow you to really start to see yourself, to say, okay, wait a minute. It's just like watching game tape in sports. It's like watching a replay of a presentation you may have done. It's like a teacher going over your work with you and saying, hey, this is where you made a mistake. Somebody watching your work at your job and saying, hey, you could do this better this time. I kind of saw what you did. Let's improve here. That's all it is, right? It's how can we improve? How can we get better each day? And so you take that. Now you have your goal. Now here's something about your goals that is another question to ask. Many people do know what they want, right? They'll raise their hand and say, yeah, I want a new home, or I want more money. I want a better job. I want a better relationship. You know, I want to go on that vacation. It's easy to say that. But here's the second question after you figure out what you want or what you desire. Here's the second question that's powerful, and I heard this watching a documentary yesterday. What are you willing to do to get what you want? What are you willing to do, or what are you willing to give up to get what you want? That's an important question, because it actually goes back to those items that I just listed, right? If you are looking at your previous day and you're like, you know, I'm not making much progress towards my goal. Well, I saw that I just spent 4 hours doing things that I like to do. I like to play video games. I like to watch TV. You know, I like to sit around and talk on the phone to people that I really don't even want to talk to. I mean, that's common to hear. I spent 4 hours doing that. The other 4 hours, I spent actually working on things that I need to do, okay. But those other 4 hours, I could have been researching homes. I could have been working on my credit. I could have been researching neighborhoods. I could have been talking to my family about what type of home that we want to get. I could have been researching the furniture I want to have in the home, right? See, all those things. And the reason I say this is because I'm actually looking for a home. So this is real, right? I'm sharing real things. And this allows you to start to see, oh, wow, this is, I'm not actually applying all of my time. I'm not investing my time in the areas that will actually reap the rewards for me, right? That will actually help me get to the goals that I want to go to. So, again, this is an assessment. This is kind of, again, that map that we talk about. Where are we at now? You're kind of seeing how we're spending our time, how we're investing our time, where we're at, and then the goal is where we want to go. And by looking at these steps, we're seeing, okay, am I going in the right direction? So now that you have those things in place, here's a key thing. And many times people will meet someone and they'll say, man, how does that person get all those things done? And I'll share a quick story about myself in college, and then I'll give you a quick tip on how you can get more things done each day. So I played college basketball. I had some injuries. I went to a couple big schools, but I had some injuries, transferred, ended up at a small private school here in Austin, Texas, which is where I'm based out of a majority of the time. And a normal day for me was getting up, going to class, you know, going to lunch, going to practice. Practice would be about 2 to 3 hours, so usually 2:30, 3:30 to about 5:30. You leave practice and you go to the cafeteria or the dorm cafeteria to go eat dinner. That's about an hour. And then every night, it didn't matter if it was the weekend or the weekday, every night I would study from 7 to about 8:30 or 9. Every single night I would study. And also, every night at 9 p.m., I would go out and do something. Sometimes I would go out to, here in Austin at 6th Street, and maybe out to a bar or go see a live show. Sometimes I go to a movie. Sometimes I go hang out with a friend in the dorm. Sometimes I go to a friend's place. Sometimes I may go out on a date with a girl or something like that. But I always went and did something fun. Now, Dwight mentioned this earlier about having fun. I always did something fun. Now, this is something you'll hear from a lot of successful people. They'll say, schedule your day, right? Have your day scheduled, meaning that day, the day is dealing with you. You're scheduling your day. This is what I'm going to do at this time. Well, the reason I was able to do all those other things was because I scheduled my fun every evening at 9 p.m. That was the most important thing for me. So that's what motivated me to study, to go to practice, to go to class, and everything else. Because I knew at 9 p.m., I did everything during the day. I could feel relaxed knowing that I did everything I was supposed to do, and I could go enjoy myself, which is very important in life, to be able to have that relaxation period, right? It's good mentally and physically. And so I went and did that every night. Now, here's something that's important to understand. I made the dean's list, 3.6. I was an athlete. School was always pretty, I wouldn't say it was easy, but I didn't have trouble with school. My mom was a teacher, but I designed good habits. And one of the things that I designed was I hated cramming for tests. I hated studying all night and preparing for these big tests. So I realized that if I studied every day, I stayed on top of my subject. I was aware of everything that was going on. I was able to respond back to my professors very quickly because they were like, every time I talked to them, they were like, oh, wow, you're doing the work because of the questions I would ask, right? And so, but from the outside looking in, teammates, classmates, they would see me going out to do things every night, and they were like, man, this guy's always partying. So, but then when I was on the dean's list, they didn't come and ask me how I did it or what was my work ethic. This is something you'll see. It's common in the movies and it's common in the media. They started saying that I was a genius. They were like, oh, this guy's just a genius. He's just super smart. He doesn't even have to study. He goes in and aces the test. That's what they started saying. And then a few other people who were closer to me, they were like, no. They were like, this guy studies every night. He studies every single night. And they were like, well, how do you study every night and still go out? I was like, I schedule it. So this goes back to the point of schedule your time. And I always tell people, schedule the things that are most important to you first. Your dreams, what's fun, your family. Most people, they schedule their work all the time. Oh, I got to be there at 7:30. I'm never late. And they never schedule anything else. They don't schedule time with their family. They don't schedule when they're going to work on their dream. They don't even schedule their vacation. They just kind of haphazardly do it. And you wonder why you feel like you're putting everything into your work, into your job, and you're not really setting up yourself in your own personal life. A lot of it is because we just have not scheduled the things that are most important to us. Put those things first and foremost. And it also makes it just gives you inspiration to get the other things done, because you're like, hey, I'm going to go to work, and when I get off work, I get to do this, right? Or before work, I get to do this, and then I go to work happy. And the last thing that we'll talk about here is to go back to the point I said about now that you've scheduled your time, you have your goal, you've analyzed yourself during the day or the previous days, and now you know where you want to spend more time. How do you get really efficient at how you spend your time, right? Because a lot of times we have good goals. Oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but you don't quite finish it or you get distracted. One of the best ways to do this is you take a piece of paper, a notebook, maybe a journal, maybe a planner, whatever works best for you. This could be physical paper or on a phone, using an app or something. You write down the six things the night before that you're going to get done the next day. Write down the six things that you're going to get done the next day, and you write them down in the order of priority. So if you know that the most important thing for you to do tomorrow is to call your broker, your mortgage broker, to find out what type of loan you can get for a house, that's the number one thing. If you know this, the second most important thing is for you to call your grandmother or call your family member because you need to check on them because you heard that something's going on. put that as number two, right? And you know number three is you need to clean out your car. Put that as number three. Number four is you need to call the dentist. Number five is you need to work on your online class for your certification. Number six, you need to work on your marketing for your new website that you're building. Those are your six things. You start with number one, and you don't stop number one until you finish it. And you try that. I mean, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be changes and ups and things that will distract you because you're building in a new habit. But if you start to operate like that every night, you write down the six things the night before that you're going to do the next day. That this is uncommon stuff, right? It sounds really simple, and people will say, oh, wow, that's really simple, but most people are not doing this. They're just haphazardly going about each day. If you do this, this will increase the amount of things that you get done exponentially. And you will start to become very efficient, meaning you will start to do the most important things each day. A lot of times we can get caught up doing trivial things. We get a lot of stuff done, but it doesn't move us forward, as Dwight mentioned earlier, right? You're kind of just staying in the same place. So these are all things that we can do, and what I just shared really is kind of a pattern, and it's something that I'm upping my game on, right? So the things that we share and we talk about, these are not things that I sit off in some high heel like I've already done these things. No, these are things that I'm doubling down on now because this is an opportunity for me to get a lot of things done because I'm in the space. I'm not traveling like I normally do, and I'm getting a lot of things done around my place, for my family, for my own business, for my own clients. So take these examples, actually go do them, start to try and work with them, keep going, be persistent. You'll have challenges. And these things can really help us through these times and really help you to build a new habit of being very efficient and powerful with your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay Banks. Thank you. I'm going to put out some statements, and they may remind you or put you in remembrance or be reminiscent with you, or they may resonate with you. I call this old information. And then on top of that, I'm a layer with some new information. And just like Jay Banks just talked about, forming new habits, it bids you good biddings to follow that information he just gave you about forming new habits. So everyone's heard things such as a rich man can't enter heaven. To that I say, when you find yourself in heaven, then you'll be in heaven. If you find yourself in hell, right now, you're in hell. You're going to have to latch on to some stronger beliefs and more powerful thoughts. More terminology you've heard. Money doesn't grow on trees. Money burns holes in my pocket. Money is hard to come by. It's hard to hold on to money. It takes money to make money. Money is filthy lucre. Anyone that has it, they're greedy. They did something crooked to get it and keep it, and they always have it. They're doing something illegal. Those are wrong thoughts and wrong beliefs. Money is shelter with electricity and water. Money is clothing and accessories on your body. Money is food on the table. Money is the necessity you need to live day by day. Money is your car. Money is gas and oil in your car, helping it run daily. Money is a bus. Money is a cab. Money is a train. Money is an airplane. Money is fuel in the airplane. Money is Uber. Money is Lyft. Money is entertainment. You are a broadcast station, similar to a radio station. With the sowing of seeds, your beliefs, your thoughts, your words, your expectations, your actions. You reflect that to the universe and the people that are within the universe, and you reap a harvest likewise. I think it was James Allen that said, we think that we can think in secret, but it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass. You shouldn't go to the ocean with a teaspoon. You should just pipe in. Your economy is within you. You can have as little of money as you want. You can have as much money as you want. It's all within you. You may not be able to receive that right now, but it's still true. With your beliefs, with your thoughts, with your words, with your planning, with your expectations, with your actions, you're sowing seeds. And by law, you're going to reap a harvest. This gentleman just explained to you about planning your day. That's what's wrong with a lot of those, and I fall into those categories often or from time to time, so I'm not exempt from it myself. The reason that we fall short of our goal, or as Jay Banks says, has a misstep in our movie, is because we don't plan. We think something's going to fall out the sky. We think something's going to happen automatically. We think somebody's going to give us something. No, there are latent resources within you to make everything happen, whether it be, like you said, a new home, a new car, you're turning your passion into your dream business, a higher-paying job, a larger apartment, maybe you want a condo. It makes no difference what the objective is. He is giving you critical steps that everybody that succeeds on a large scale uses. They plan their day. And then a lot of people go back through their day before they drop off to bed, and they revise things so that the next day can be better. So he's giving you profound insight, things that work. Anybody, athlete, tech person, surgeon, salesman, they do what Jay Banks is describing. That's why they are effective. That's why they are efficient. That's why they are getting the results that they're getting. And then for those of us that don't plan, those that believe wrong and think wrong and expect wrong and speak wrong and believe wrong are getting the harvest that we're getting. It's because we think it's on somebody else when it's on us. Your economy is within you. I'm not downgrading anyone that's working a regular job. It's not what I'm saying. You start where you are. You do what you have to do until you get to where you want to be. And then even when you get to where you want to be, you still haven't arrived. You still have to apply these systematically and methodically, day in and day out, hour by hour, minute by minute. So Jay Banks is sharing some very critical information with us that's simple. It's basic. It's fundamental. And to the extent that we do this consistently and constantly, will we see the shifts? Will we begin to see the rewards? Next thing, money cannot stay away from a person with a prosperity consciousness. Remember, they're sowing seeds of belief. They're sowing seeds of thought impulses. They're sowing seeds of words. They're sowing seeds of their expectations. They're sowing seeds of inspired action. And by law, they are rightfully receiving the rewards, which are promotion, expanded opportunities, increase, more than enough, prosperity, riches, and wealth. And by that same law, Jay Banks likes to say the law of polarity. Money stays away from a person with a poverty consciousness. They're doing the same thing. They're sowing seeds of belief. They're sowing seeds of thoughts. They're sowing seeds of words. They're sowing seeds of expectations. They're sowing seeds of little or no action. And by law, they're reaping what they're reaping. Scarcity, lack, limitation, insufficiency, patiently overlooking opportunities repeatedly. That's the end result. Now, in drawing to a close, we have covered a lot of different things. And Jay Banks, you're welcome to jump in at any time. We've given you a lot to take in, but you can go to the BBS radio and listen to it here within 24 hours to contemplate some of the material that was discussed. And I would advise you to do what Jay Banks said. Write some of this stuff down. Take a look at it. See if you are participating in this or not. If you're not participating in this, don't beat yourself up about it. Take a step. I mean, maybe you can't get six things like Jay Banks discussed, but you can do two things. Hey, that's a good start. Maybe in another week you add two more things. Maybe the next week you add another two things to get up to the six things that you plan to do the next day. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. Would you like to chime in, Jay Banks?
Yeah, I really, really like that last point you made about just starting where you are, right? You know, a lot of times you may hear someone say something, or you heard me say six things. You know, I read an article every day with one of my accountability partners, and it's an article from Think and Grow Rich. It's on persistence. And there's a comment in that article that says, getting started slow is way more important than doing a whole bunch of things all at once and then falling off. Right. So getting started slow and building a consistency, if it's just one thing a day. If you get one thing done a day for 365 days, I guarantee you, you are in the top percentage of people in the world. I mean, because so many people will get things done, but then they may go two or three days where they get nothing done. And what I mean by getting things done, again, I'm talking about what moves you, what comes from your heart, what your dream is. That's what we're talking about. That's why the name of my company is Dream Power Academy. We all get things done every day, but a lot of times we're getting things done to help build someone else's dream, right? Or for some other job, or helping someone else out in our family, or our coworkers. That's all great. Those are all good things, but we've got to at least start to get one or two things done for ourselves that we've always wanted to do, right? That book you've always wanted to read, that place you've always wanted to go, that dream you've always had. Start working on those things. Start taking those steps. And like Dwight said, it's not about you comparing yourself to anyone else or trying to be like me or Dwight. It's about you being you. It's about you defining your own success. And that's another thing that we are very strong about. A lot of times we get marketed. People market to us what success is, just like they market a brand new car or something in the store. Like, oh, this is what successful is. Success is your definition. So create your own success. Define what it is. For some people, that may be just having a great family, a great relationship. It may be great health. It may be being in shape. It may be setting up a legacy for your children. It may be getting a new home. And then, like Dwight said earlier, after you accomplish that next thing, guess what? There's going to be something else that you want to do. Like, we don't stop. We're always growing. We're always looking for new things, and different things change in our lives. We have different there's different things that I wanted when I was 18. Now I'm in my 40s. There's things that I look at differently, but there are some things that I still look at the same way that I was when I was 18 years old. So really just tap into yourself and figure out what it is you want to do and where you want to go. And the tips and the tools and the actions that we're sharing are just suggestions to help you get there. You can modify them. You can change them. You know, you may say, hey, I just want to do one thing a day. That's great. Another person may say, no, I want to do 12 things every day. Hey, that's great too. So really listen to the words that Dwight just said about really starting where you're at, always honoring yourself, loving yourself. This is not about beating yourself up or getting upset where you're at. It's just about realizing where you are and where you want to go and using some of the tools and tips that we've provided, finding the things that work for you in the words that we've spoken, and then adding your own piece to it, adding your uniqueness to it, right, and going forward. So that's what I would share today, Dwight.
Thank you, Jay Banks. I have a few more words to say, but I'm going to do something that came to me, a little harmony. This is that, come on, pump it up, come on, pump it up, yay, yay, writing is all I got. This is that, come on, pump it up, come on, pump it up, yay, coaching is all I got, so I may as well give it all I've got. If you can dream it, you can do it. Walt Disney. A dream doesn't become reality through magic. It takes sweat, determination, and hard work. 4-star general Colin Powell. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dream and endeavors to live the life which they have imagined, they will meet with success unexpected in common hours. If you desire to be an eagle, leave those chickens alone. What are you saying, host? What I'm saying is, don't follow someone else that's following their thoughts. Why not follow your own thoughts? Until the next time, be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. Until the next time, stay in the light. Push out the dark. And I leave you with this. You no longer have to go to the ocean with a teaspoon. Pipe in.